where we left off in the beginning, in the middle of the Gemara on Chav Dalet. Let's start again from the Mishnah on Chav Dalet and Aleph, and we'll review the highlights. The Mishnah is assuming that relatives are possible aides, Kroivim Apsudim aides, and whoever is possible to serve as an aide is possible to serve as a dayan. That's the Mishnah in Nida. Mishnah says in Nida that whoever is possible aides is automatically possible dayanis. Who's possible aides? Either Kroivim or Psulim. Psulim means Rishoyim. Kroivim or Rishoyim. And there are people who are possible. We left off in the beginning, in the middle of the Gemara on Chav Dalet. Let's start again from the Mishnah on Chav Dalet and Aleph, and we'll review the highlights. The Mishnah is assuming that relatives are possible aides, Kroivim Apsudim aides, and whoever is possible to serve as an aide is possible to serve as a dayan. That's the Mishnah in Nida. Mishnah says in Nida that whoever is possible aides is automatically possible dayanis. Who's possible aides? Either Kroivim or Psulim. Psulim means Rishoyim, Kroivim or Rishoyim. And there are people who are possible to serve as a dayan who are not necessarily possible ladies, namely an Amoritz. A person is an Amoritz, an honest person, an Elohim person, he's not related. So he's Kosher ladies, but he's not Kosher the dayan. So that's a Mishnah in the middle of Nidah. So here the Mishnah says, even though the din is that Kroivim, Psulim Laedus Ula Dayanis, or Rishoyim Apsulim Leidus Ula Dayanis, or an Amoritz is possible to serve as a Dayan. Nonetheless, if the both parties agree that they'll accept Psule Yedis, or they'll accept Psule Dayanis, so that's acceptable. So Rav Meir says, nothing doing. Rav Meir says, you can still back out. Even though you agreed an hour ago, if you see that things are going in the wrong direction, I agreed because I thought they're going to come to the Maskana that I'm part of, that I should do. Then I see that they're shifting in the direction of the other Baldin, the Tzadchik and Egitz. So Rav Meir says, Yochel Asaba, you can back out. And we don't pass him like Rav Meir. We pass him like the Chacham and the Eina Yochel Asaba. Sure. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, or for another example. Let's say the din is, in many cases, the din is that if someone swears, he wins. Many times it's a Nishba v'Nishtar, and sometimes it'll be a Nishba v'Noitel. In our Torah, there's no such thing as a Nishba v'Noitel. You swear and you win. There is no such halacha. You have to have something better than a shvua. In our Torah, the only institution of shvua is a nishba v'niftar. That's a mission in shvua. And then you have the rabbanon, the yesh nishba v'naitum. Sometimes you have the rabbanon, the takana, that a person is a nishba v'naitum. So here the Mishnah has, let's say the halacha says either min haTorah, min haRabbanon, that somebody has to swear. And if he swears, he wins. Whatever he wins, either he wins in his potter, or he wins and then he collects from the other one. He wins and the other one has to pay him. But the din is he has to put his hand on a Sefer Torah. Not enough a chumash, he has to put his hand on a Sefer Torah. Hold the Sefer Torah. He has to swear b'nekitas chayv. He has to say, Haredi Nishba. What if he says, I should drop dead if it's not the way I said. Or my children should die if it's not so and so. That's not a shvua. You have to say, Haredi Nishba, Hashem. You have to mention the Shem Hashem. You have to hold on to a Sefer Torah. Not stand to be mekabel or klola on yourself. Or to say some funny lotion. What if the both of them agree that they don't need all these formalities of the Shvur of the Shem, and they don't need this Sefer Torah, they need this Sefer. If he's going to swear to be Mekabel HaKalola on himself, that'll be acceptable. And the both parties say it'll be acceptable. So that's also Machlek Zameh HaChachamim in the Mishnah. So Rav Meir says, even though you agree, but if later on you want to change your mind, you can change your mind. The Chachamim say, no, nothing doing. Once you agree to that, so that that's binding. So in this Mishnah, there's a big problem Rabbi Yosef Engel has in the there's a Sefer called Gilyoni Hashas. So they printed over all of the Horus that Rabbi Yosef Engel had written on the margin of his Gemara that he used. So in this Mishnah, he has a long shtickle where he quotes from early Yachreinim. What do you mean? The Chachamim say that it's binding, but it's against Halacha. The Halacha says that Kroivim are not good for Edom and for Dayanim. And Amoritz is not kosher to serve as a Dayan. The Shavua has to be a Shavua. Shavua has to be Minikitas Chayfet. You have to hold on to the Sefer Torah. Or you have to say, Haveri Nishba B'Hashem, Shavua B'Shem Hashem. How can you change the Dinim just because the both parties agree? He changed the Dinim. So obviously the pshat is that the laws of the Torah don't change just because the both parties are in agreement. No, the Vart is like this. Let's say there are two parties, and I'm demanding of you that you have to pay me money. And then I say, if these Pasala Dayanim, Nemal Ayaba, Nemal Ayavicha, my father, your father, Amaoritz, Ganef, whoever the Dayan is, whatever reason he's possible, the Natarim, the Rabbanim, whatever reason he's possible, I say, if he says that I'm not entitled to collect, so I'll forgo the Chiyuv, I won't collect. And then my father, or your father, or the Ganef, or whoever it is, says that I'm not entitled to collect. So in that case, Mechile, it's Tzvicha Kinyan. That's what we had the big places on the above and above. If the one who stands to lose over here is in agreement to forgo his claims, I say he owes me so much money. But I say if this pasul of bezin says that I'm not entitled, so then I will forgo my claim. So that's a mechila. It's a mechila. It's a king. So that we understand the mechanism how it works. The fellow was meichel. So that's one opinion in the Gemara Taka that the whole machlekes Rav Meir and the Chachamim is only the mechalok. The Chachamim say, hey, the Yochel Aksaba, once you agree, you can't back out. It's only if the Taveya wants to change his mind later. If the Nitva says, I claim that you owe me money, and you say, you don't owe me the money, but if this Pasul of Bezin will say that you do owe me, then you'll pay the money from your pocket. You hold that you're really not Chayev, it's not true, the case, the facts are not true, but if the Bezin will say Chayev, you're prepared to pay. And then later on you hear that the Bezin stuck a holding by Paskin, where they already did Paskin, that you are Chayev. And then you say, change your mind, you don't want to pay. So one opinion in the Gemara is that the Chachamim would never say in such a case. Only b'mochalot, only if the Taveya wants to change his mind. Then the Chachamim say, any Yachal Asabe can't back out, because Mechila, and it's Vichikinya, the Taveya was Mechal. So that's the mechanism how it's legally binding. He made a Mechila. So Mechila doesn't need any Kinyan and it's binding. But if the Nitva, the Nitva says, I know the facts so that I don't owe you a penny. But if these Dayanim will say that I owe you, then I'll agree that I'll pay. And later on they say that he has to pay. And then he wants to back out and say, I don't want to pay. So then the Gemara has one opinion. What's going to bind him legally? How can you make him? So he promised he's going to give. And if I promise I'm going to give him $1 million, I can't change my mind. I have to have a kinyan. It has to be legally bind. Mechila doesn't need a kinyan. Mechila doesn't require a kinyan to forego schusim. But to be mishabed yourself, to be mischayev yourself, yesh me'ayin. If al pi halacha you really don't owe, and you want to obligate yourself to pay, calls man you didn't make a kinyan. The Chachamim would agree that you're halachsable. That was one opinion in the Gemara. The Gemara had three versions. Where is there a machlekes Rav Meir and the Chachamim? The Rav Meir says you can always back out, even though you promise to abide by the psak, you can back out later if you're unhappy. And the Chachamim is saying no. Once you promise to abide by the psak, even though it's a pasul of bezin, you know, the shvua is an imitation shvua. Or the Amihorets, but whatever the case is, once you agree, so it's binding. So the Gemara has three versions. And one version was the whole machlekes is only the machalach. If the Taveya wants to back out, so then it's a machlekes and the din is like the Chachamim, we cannot back out. Or the Be'etamach, if the Nitva wants to change his mind, everybody holds he can back out. How can that be legally binding? The other version, the Gemara is no. The machalach, if the Taveya wants, said, I forgo my claim if the Pasul of Bezin says that I'm not entitled. And then he wants to back out. So how can Rav Meir disagree with the Chachamim? It can't be a machlekes in such a case. But Mochalov, Divrei HaKel, Eini Yochel Achsevo. Must be the whole machlekes of Meir and the Rabbanan is only in the case of Etin Loch. In Mochalov, it doesn't make any sense. And the third version of the Gemara is known. Machlekes is Beim Mochalov, Beim Etin Loch. Both if the Taveh wants to back out and the Nitva wants to back out in both cases. Okay. How do we pass an halacha l'maisa? Oh, so the Gemara says like this. The Gemara has an amen base. If it's the machalach, if the Taveya says, if the Bezin says I'm not entitled to the claim, then I forgo the claim. Then I'm not going to pursue it. I won't schlep you again to another Bezin. If this possible Bezin says I'm not entitled, I promise I will not take you to another Bezin. So if it's a case of machalach, so mechila does need a kinyan, so the taveya cannot change his mind. But in the case of etin loch, if the nitva agrees to pay, if bezin says that he has to pay, and then the din is also that he cannot back out, that's only if the gmar din. That's only if the gmar din was made already. Because man the gmar din was not made, then he can back out. So that the taveya cannot back out, that's because he made a mechila. So that we understand very well. You don't even need a gemar din for that. Mechila doesn't require a kinyan. But the shad is be'etin loch, we're back to square one. Be'etin loch, when the nitva agreed. Nitva says, I know the facts of the case, I was there. I was dealing with you. You're telling a lie, it's not true. But if these Pasul Eidim will say that I owe you the money, I agreed to pay. Then the Pasul Eidim come and they say that he owes the money. And he says he doesn't want to pay. So the Gemara says, if it's Lachak Mardin, then he does have to pay. What kind of a vart is that? How did the Halacha change? If the Gemara din, why is he chayv to pay? That was where Rabbi Yosef Engel posed the question. He quoted from the early Achronim, why, how is it legally binding? So he promised he's going to give. He promised he's going to give money. Al pi pashtus, it's not legally binding. That's Grada Machloikis that we mentioned two weeks ago. That's a Machloikis. We're going to have to spend a lot of time on that. Here, the Gemara, it's Taka Chanukah topic. Let's say you're playing dreidel for money. Or you're playing cards for money. Whatever, gambling, whatever. So let's say we agree that whoever loses has to pay so much money. So we played, and I lost, and according to the agreement, I owe you $10,000. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, get to the discussion. We'll have to get to that. Why should I be legally bound to pay you the money? So I promised I'm going to give you the money. Why is that binding? Don't you have to have a kinyan? Even if you hold a smachta kanya, despite the fact that there's a lack of snichas das, it's binding anyway. What's binding? Suzogun is binding. I said I'm going to give you money. That's not binding. That's, unless I say, already nishba. If I take a shvua, then I'm going to give you money. I have to fulfill my word. I have to keep the shvua. But if I didn't say already nishba, how is that legally binding that I have to give you? So Tosfos has a comment on this whole Gemara, on the whole topic. If you take a look at this long Tosfos on Chaf Hamad Aleph, the one that goes on and on. So on the last two lines. This whole sugya that says, if they're playing for money, they're gambling for money. So whoever wins has the right to collect, and the one who loses has to shell out the money. So Tosfos poses a question, the same Tosfos appears in Eruvin. Shulchan Aruch, they quote it from Eruvin, Daf Pei Beis. But it's the exact same thing, word for word, no difference. So Tosfos says, why is he legally bound to pay the money? Don't you need a kinyan? You have to make a hischayrus. So we're playing cards, and we're playing dreidel, and we agreed whoever loses has to pay the other guy $10,000. What kinyan did he make? The Tosfos says, no, the mice is, they're not mesachkim ba money. They're not playing on credit. The money is mo shnei maladaf. I put my $10,000, and you put, if you lose, you pay me $10,000. If I lose, I pay you $10,000. So we're both walking around with $10,000 in the pocket. We put all the money in the bowl in the middle of the table. Moshnei maladat, and let's say each one of us picked it up, and I picked it up with your authorization, and I said, in the event that I win, my $10,000 vashteitzach is mine, and I'm here by koina, your $10,000, Allah Tanai, and you gave me permission, you gave me das makna to pick it up and be koina. Then you pick up the same plate, and you say, if you win, so then loy me boy, not only your $10,000 is not given a matana to me, you're here by being koina matana, my $10,000. So each one of us made a kinyan hakbor, or something like that. Each one made a kinyan chotzer, a kinyan hakbor. And the mele, each one was kinder, the other one's $10,000 ala tanai. And now we can roll up our sleeves and start to discuss whether it's legally binding, because they were gambling, so maybe that should be considered asmachta. We'll have to define what's the issue, what is asmachta, what do the words mean. So maybe asmachta, despite the fact that they made a kinyan, maybe it's not legally binding. Maybe asmachta is not kanya. And maybe the kinyan doesn't take effect, but you have to first make a kinyan. You have to make some kind of a kinyan hakbor. Kozman, you don't make a kinyan hakbor. Just promise to give, the loser promises to give the winner $10,000. The Tosfos claims there's nothing to discuss. That's not legally binding at all. That's Shitas HaTosfos. The Rambam is going to have a totally different Shita in the whole Gemara. The Rambam's opinion is that if I want to transfer ownership of an object, that the yed, let's say I have a sefer, I have a pair of glasses, I have whatever, a tape recorder, a gemara. So whenever I have a karka, a talpam, whenever I have an object and I want to transfer ownership to another person, so the Rambam writes, Perek Aleph, Aloch Aleph, and Hilchas Mechira, Ein HaNekech Nikne B'dvarim. You cannot transfer ownership of an object just by tzuzov, just by saying, hereby declare that the house is yours. Hegdish, yeah, Amirasa LaHegdish, King Sirasa LaHegdidam. When you make a declaration, you donate it to Hegdish, you donate it to Tzedokah, Tzedokah is also chal b'dibur. But leaving out Tzedokah and Hegdish just b'nodem l'chaveret to another bas of Adam, so the din is, the Rambam starts off, that's klal aleph, that's rule number one, perak aleph, aloch aleph, and elchiz mechir, ein hamekach nikne b'dvarim. So the Rambam holds, though, that's only by Mekach when you're transferring ownership of a Bieg. If you want to obligate yourself, you say, I hereby obligate myself to give you out of the clear blue sky, not in connection with anything that happened in the past. Not that I broke your window, not that I borrowed money, nothing, nothing happened. Not in exchange for anything. I just say, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100,000. So the Rambam says that that's binding. So the Rambam learns that when the fellas are gambling here with the dreidel or with the cards or whatever it is, and they say whoever loses has to pay the winner $10,000, no kinyonim will make, what's such lomdim? Each one picks up the till in the middle and each one is kaina ala tanai. If I win, not only am I not giving you, I should be kaina, you're $10,000. The Rambam learns, no, talmid hachachamim over here, they're just gambling ba mesachkin ba mona. They're playing on credit. They're keeping a record. Someone's writing down who owes whom, what amount of money, but no one made any kinyonim. And the Rambam learns bedavka, that's the topic. That's exactly the topic of asmachta. We'll have to spend time to explain each one. So getting back over here, according to Tosis, you certainly have a problem. In the case of Etenloch, he were not gambling. He would want to have a din Torah. And the Taveya said, makes a claim that I broke his window. And I said, I don't even know who you are. I drove a car. I said, I don't know how to drive a car. I have no license. How can I break your car? I don't drive, the whole thing is sheker. So then I say, and he says he's going to bring witnesses. So I say, all right, if you bring any witnesses in the world, bring your mother, your father, your sister, bring all the craving one. If they testify that I drove a car and I broke your window, I'll pay you. And then lo and behold, they come and they testify. I'm screaming, what are you, crazy? I don't even know how to drive. How can it be? The whole thing is sheker. So that's the din in the Mishnah, that since I agreed, I said, if you'll bring these puzzle to Adam and they'll say that I owe you the money, the puzzle of Adam, but they'll say, even though I say it's impossible, if they say, so I'm going to pay. So the din is like the Chachamim, I cannot back out. Shaila is why? If the Taveya is prepared to forego, Taveya says the Nitva owes him money. Then he says, if the Nitva will bring his mother, his father, his uncle, his grandmother, they'll all testify again, I forgo. So that's Mechila. Alright, so Mechila, and it's Rechikinya. So we understand the mechanism whereby, how the Chachamim say, Eina Yochel Achsaba, the Taveya, once he agrees to such an arrangement, cannot change his mind later because he just made a Mechila ala tonight. So he made a Mechila, he cannot back out because Mechila doesn't need a Kinya. But the Nitva obligates himself to pay money on the condition that Pasul Adam will come and testify, Pasul Adayam, Paskin on him. How is he chayv? It's a his chayv is in need of kinyan. So according to Tosis, you have a problem for sure. Even according to the Rambam, that we said the Rambam Shita in Asmach that we're going to have to spend time. The Rambam Shita is that you can create a his chayvus b'dvarim alone. I just say I hear about the transfer ownership of an object. There you need a ma'ase kinyan. That was the Rambam, the first line in Hilchos Mechira. But to create a his chayvus on an amount of money that the Rambam says b'feirish that you don't need a ma'ase kinyan. That's what we mentioned, I think. 2 weeks ago, he mentioned the Mechaber quotes the Rambam in Choshe Mishpat Sin in them that you can create a hischayvus without a ma'ase kinyan. I say, I hereby obligate myself yesh me'ayin to give you $100,000, not in exchange for anything that you ever did for me, not in exchange for anything. So the Rambam says I'm chayiv to pay it, even though no ma'ase kinyan was done. So the Tzais found it so hard to believe because it's such a davar yadua mefursim. The Tzais says all over Shas not so. The only Rishon who agrees with the Rambam is a Ram, on Ksuvas and Daf Kubbeis. No one else holds like the Rambam. The Tzais found it so hard to believe, he says it couldn't be, and he reinterpreted the Rambam that the Rambam never said. And later years, the Stipler writes in his Sefer, no, the Rambam said it, the Rambam meant it, he said it, and he disagrees. The Rambam and the Ram disagree with all the other Rishon. That's a machlokes. Again, even according to the Rambam, you still have a problem over here. Because when we learn Asmachta, we'll discover the Rambam only says you can be mischayv yourself without a ma'ase kinyan if there are no strings attached, if it's not ala tanai. I say, I hereby obligate myself to give you yesh me'ayin $100,000, period. But if I say, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100,000 if it snows tomorrow. And if it doesn't snow tomorrow, no. So if I would have given a girl a ring and said, hariyat mekudeshesli if it snows, and if it doesn't snow is nish, that would be kiddushin ala tanai. Or if I would sell you a house on the condition that it rains tomorrow, or any crazy condition. What a man gives a get to his wife on the condition that she gives him $100,000, and if not, the get should not be valid. Any mean condition, reasonable, unreasonable, nonsensical condition, any condition you make is binding. But the Rambam sheet is that by his chayvus bedas, if I obligate myself to give you a matana of $100, if I put strings onto that, I make strings attached, I say, if it rains, if it doesn't rain not, that kills the whole chayvus. The Rambam, that's how the Rambam learns asmach tolokani. The Rambam learns, if you make it his chayvus bedvorim, al atanai, then it's not valid. You say, even according to the Rambam, you have a big problem over here. The Nitva says, I don't owe you a penny. The whole story is baloney. I don't know how to drive a car. What do you mean I drove a car and I smashed into your window? I don't know how to drive. I never drive. What Baba Meisen? Then the Taver says, but I can bring witnesses. Who are the witnesses? His mother, his grandmother. I say, you bring all the witnesses. If your witnesses say that I did it, I'm asking, I'll pay. So it's a Hischaibus ala Tanai. The Nitva agrees to pay the damages that he never did. He doesn't know how to drive a car. Nitva says, I'm asking to pay you the damages that I'm not chayv to pay because I never did it. I don't even know who you are. On the condition that the pasul einim or the pasul dayanim will say that I have to pay. And then they come and they testify. They come and they give the psak. So then it was it says chayvus ala tanai. Even the Rambam holds that you're not chayv over there. Rambam holds that chayvus bedvarim is binding if it's not ala tanai. But if it's ala tanai, the Rambam holds that's called asmachta and it's lokanya. So the problem in the Mishnah is l'choladeis, bein l'shitas hateis, bein l'shitas harambam, on the nitva. How can it be be'etin loch? If it's b'mocha loch, if the teveya forgoes his claims, we see a mechanism, mechila. It's a mechila, ala tanai, ha'mochel, I forgo my claims, if the pasul witnesses will testify. So mechila ala tanai, it's a good mechila. Mechila is good, mechila ain't tzvich hakinyan. And you can make a mechila ala tanai. But that the nitva should say, I accept upon myself an obligation to pay you if so-and-so will testify. So the Shita Sataisis, the whole thing is a pele, his chayvus bedvarim is not binding, period. And even according to the Rambam, then his chayvus bedvarim alone is binding without a ma'asikin, but if it's ala tanai, then it kills it. So you're not chayv. So the Mishnah is a pele l'choladeis. So that's what we said last week. There's a long shach in Chayshu Mishpat on this, where this appears. And he explains that there are two solutions to the problem, and the halachas are slightly different. The solution is la'acha gemar din. La'acha gemar din, that's what the Gemara says. If it's the mocholof, then you don't need gemar din. If the taveya forgoes his rights, the mechila in itzvich hakinyan, the mechila al tanai is also good. So if the taveya cannot back out even koinim gemar din. But the mocholof, the nitva, cannot back out la'acha gemar din. Why? So the shach nechash mishpah points out there are two reasons for this halacha. So one reason is because nasa maisa al piv. If I agree, I promise I'm going to give you an amount of money. So then the halacha is I can back out. Tosafot says it's not legally binding. But if I promise that if you go to Texas and hold a speech over there in a certain shul, or you speak to the governor, whatever, then I'll pay you $1,000. Of course I have to pay you. That's chiris payla. That's always like that. That's I engage a lawyer to do something for me. I get someone to fix my automobile. And I say, if you fix the automobile, I'll pay you $1,000 or whatever, $500. You paint my apartment, I'll pay you. So whenever it's nasa mais al piv, whenever you went ahead and you did something, even if the something that you did, see, if I say, paint my apartment, then I'll pay you. Fix my automobile, then I'll pay you. Of course, we used to see this problem. You did a job for me. But what if the thing that I asked you to do is not a job for me? Let's say it's a job for Klal Yisrael. I want you to go to Tumala, Washington. And then you go to Tumala, Washington on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and I promise to give you $100,000 if you do the work. Then you go and you do it, you come back to me, you want the money. I say, why should I pay? You didn't do it for me. No, that's also Schiris Perlman. And even if it's a thing that's totally not negated to me, the Gemara has, let's say, the Gemara in the end of Bar Mitzia has a case. I tell you, I have this broken automobile that has to be fixed. You're a mechanic, you know how to fix this broken automobile. So you go and you fix it, and then later on, lastachais, it's not my automobile. It was the next door neighbor's automobile. So the Gemara says, still, you have a claim on me. You don't have the claim on the next door neighbor, who the owner of the automobile, he didn't ask you to do the work. I was the one who asked you to do the work, even though the work was clearly not done for me. When I send you to Washington, I promise I'm going to pay you $100,000 if you do for Klal Yisrael. So I'm part of Klal Yisrael. Here I asked you to fix someone else's automobile. The Gemara says, he asks him to do malacha b'harehu b'shal chaveru. And he shows him the next the neighbor's field. And he goes and he does the work. So because I asked you to do it, so that's a din of chiras poel. So that's the lashon that the Ritva developed such a concept based on a Gemara in Bava Metzia. Whenever it's nasa, mais al piv, the other party went ahead and did something that they would normally a risky thing, or they went out on a limb, or the, took time-consuming. A guy traveled to Washington, he traveled to Texas, he went and he did something. I said, if you go, I have these frequent flyer tickets, and I have tickets that I didn't use. If you just go to California, you come back, just as you get the mileage, because I bought the tickets anyway, they're not refundable. So go there and come back, it's so worth it to me, I'll pay $100. So the guy goes, and I don't want him to pay him the money. He wouldn't have wasted a whole day to go to California. So that's also called Sechiras Purim. Whenever the person does something they would have normally not done, so then I'm going to pay. That's Nasa Maisal Piv. See here also, even though the Nasa Maisal Piv here, the Bezdin is sitting and they're discussing and the Edom are testifying, and then Achare Kechlos HaKol, after the whole thing is all over, and the Dayan says, okay, we came to the decision that you're chayv. And we sit and we write a psak. And then the guy laughs and he says, no, I'm not going to pay. I changed my mind. What do you mean you changed your mind? And what were you wasting everybody's time for? We called upon the people that they should testify to. The people are postulators. The Dayanim are postulators. The Dayanim are Rami Horitz. But what are they wasting their time for? If you led us on to believe that you're going to observe the psak after we're going to invest, even if it's not investing time, sometimes the Torah takes forever and ever and ever. It takes weeks and weeks and weeks until everybody shouts and screams and curses. And sometimes the Torah takes a half an hour. Even if it only took 10 minutes, still, it's not so myself people. We went ahead and we wasted our time on something that we would not have engaged in, even if we wouldn't have done anything productive anyway. We would have read the newspaper, would have watched television anyway. But still, we wouldn't have done this activity. So the fact that it's not so myself people, that binds you, that's why it's legally binding. So that's one mahalach, the Shach writes, that's one mahalach of Gemar Din. La'acha shenigma din, that's nasa maisal piv, then it's binding. And then the Shach has another oifen where it will be binding. And we explained it 2 weeks ago, we'll review again b'kitzer. There's another case, let's say it's a kosher at Bezin. It's a kosher at Bezin. And if the Bezin would issue a psak, the psak would be binding. Even though, let's say, there is another Bezin, let's say that as contemporaries, they have the Ktzois and the Nesivos were contemporaries, and they often disagree. Or the Taz and the Shach were contemporaries, and they often disagree. So if you go to one Bezin, they'd give you one Psak. If you would have gone to a different Bezin, they would have given a different Psak. But once you go to the first Bezin, Zigmar says, Shainoiz Gepaskin, if you can demonstrate that the first Bezin made a mistake, then you reverse the Psak. But if you can't demonstrate that they made a mistake, just Miken Zogon Azem Ken Zogon Fakeh. You can say that I can the hell like this, I can the hell like that. So if you fell in, you went to the first Bezdin and they paskin against you, whatever they paskin, the psak is binding and the case is closed and you cannot go to another case. That's the expression that Beis Yosef quotes to Chuvus HaRosh, who has such a melitza from a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos means a different thing, but the Rosh uses this expression to mean this, Beidina, Basa Beidina, Loi Daiti. Once the first Beidina issued a psak, a later Bezin will not krich to try to reverse the psak, unless they can demonstrate that it's an error. But if you can't demonstrate that there's any error, just because they hold fakeret, if you would have asked them first, they would have had the right to pask. But once the case was already decided by the first Bezin, Beidina basa Beidina, Loi Daiti. They have no right to be medayik and to reverse the psak of the first Bezin just because they don't agree with their maskana. That's not called a mistake. You're entitled to your opinion. Sometimes we're both entitled to an opinion. Sometimes not. Sometimes one is absolutely dead wrong. So whenever there's a mistake, then you have to reverse the psak. So the Shach quotes all from Rishonim. It's not his own. So he quotes, there's another concept of Nigma Hadin. There's another kind of Nigma Hadin. If it's a kosher at Bezin, and a Bezin will issue a psak, so once the psak is issued, you cannot reverse the case is closed. You cannot reverse the psak unless you can demonstrate that there was some mistake. So let's say the Bezin is not supposed to issue a psak unless they have kosher eidim, unless they have the person gives the shvua the way he's supposed to. But let's say when the Bezin is discussing it, so one of the parties, the nitva says, I hold that I'm potter. But if he'll bring these kosher eidim, I give you permission to paskin that I'm chayv. So the Bezin at the time, so the kosher eidim come and they testify. And then the Bezin paskins that the guy's chayv. Did the Bezin make a mistake for Shas Maisa? They didn't make any mistake. They're kosher at Bezin, they gave a psak. They gave a psak based on Pasul Eim. They gave a psak based on an imitation shvuah. He didn't really hold a Sefer Torah. He didn't really say Hareni Nishba Bashem. He didn't say Shvuah Bashem. He didn't say Hareni Nishba. He said, Shnei Banai Thomas, whatever. He says, I should die, my wife should die, my shvigah should die, my children should die if it's not true. Whatever. gusmois and klolos and everything. He said everything. He's beating around the bush. He said everything but what he was supposed to say, the shvur b'shem with the nikitas chayitz. But the Bezdin didn't make a mistake. The Bezdin made up. You said we should paskin. You authorized us to paskin against you in the favor of the other of the taveya if he'll swear any kind of a funny shvur. So at the time the Bezdin paskin, they didn't make any mistake. They were authorized by the nitva. They issued that psa. So later on, the Nitva decides to change his mind. You don't even have to command in such case. You don't have to command to the halacha of Nasa Maisal Piv that it's binding. Even without that, here it's binding because Beidina Bas Beidina Loidag. So the Shach discusses there is some slight nafkaminis ladina between the various cases. Sometimes it'll be binding because of Nasa Maisal Piv, and sometimes it'll be binding because of the fact that it's Beidina Bas Beidina Loidag, it's Nigma Adin Al Piv. So in this halacha of Nigma Adin, when you have the Nigma Adin is only when it's a kosher abez. When it's a kosher doesn't, but the Edom are not kosher, or the Shvur was not an acceptable Shvur, or it's a case where Shvur doesn't even help, and the other guy says, if he'll swear, I'll pay him the money. Let's say he's a Kofar Hakol. There is no din that if he's Nishba, he'll be Nishba Menaitel. There is no din in a Kofar Hakol. Kofar Hakol, the Nitva wins. I say, you want me $1,000 and you deny it. That's the end of the case. Menater, that's the end of the case. You just walk away. The Rabbanan, they made a takana that you have to swear a Shvur says it. There's never a din. If he swears that you owe him the money, so he's Nishba Benaitel, there is no such thing. So what if the Nitva says, I don't owe you the money, but if you'll swear that I owe you the money, I'll pay you. There is no such halacha. And the guy goes ahead and he swears. So that's also a case. That's discussed in Bava Basri. Here, take a look in the Tesis, Chav Dalet Amud Beis. The second Tesis on the type, Sholach Lei. That the din is like the Chachamim Dera Meir, that even in the case of Etin Law, not only the case of Machal Law, when the Toveya is prepared to forego his claims, even in the case of Etin Law, when the Nitva is in agreement to pay the money, if the Pasal Eidim will come, still, any Yochal Achzebo, why? If it's Lacha Shemig Madin. Lacha Gmar Din, and the Law is like the Chachamim. Sure. But it's only after Gemara Din. So Tosis has a problem with the Gemara in Bava Basra. This is a famous issue. Tosis has a Gemara. You have a shor, or you have an eved, and chazaka masha tachz yadam harei shalom. It's yours. I have absolutely no stitch of evidence at all to claim, to back up my claim that it's mine. I come and I open up my mouth, I say, the shor is mine, you stole it. The eved is mine, you stole it, and give it back. So you say, no. You go for hakol, no, finished. So you're going to win, hands down, you're going to win, no problem. But the rabbanon, you have to swear a shua sesis, fine. But you swear a shua sesis and you walk away, you won. So you're very generous. So you say, I'll tell you what, you're so convinced that the shor is yours, that the eved is yours. You swear that it's yours, and you'll be anishba meraitel. So there is no such thing, anishba meraitel, like go for hakol case. But if you say so, so then the Gemara says, as I've liked this, the Taveh will swear that it is, and he'll win the case. So Tosis wants to know, what's the din if the Nitva agreed to that? I say, Shori gan after, Abdi gan after. You say, Baba Maisis, it's my Shor from Sheshis Mei Breshis. It's my Yeved, it never belonged to you, I don't know who you are. The Nitva denies any Sheikhas with the Taveh. And then the Nitva says, but, screaming, I'll make you happy if you'll swear that it's yours, I'll agree to give it to you. And that's where we're holding now. And then the Nitva sees that the Taveya says, okay, give me the Sefer Torah, I'm prepared to swear. Or he asks the Bezin, give me the text, I'm prepared to say whatever text he wants. He's preparing himself to take the Shura. So the Nitva sees that the Taveya is going to swear. So then the Nitva says, I back out, I change my mind. So what would be the din in such a case? So based on the Gemara that we just learned, that the Etin Loch, when the Nitva is in agreement to pay money to the Taveya, if the Bezin will pass whatever, the only time it's legally binding and any Yochal Achzebo can't back out is only Lacha Shenigma Dinoi. So here it's not yet Nigma Dina, he didn't swear yet. After he swears, then it's already Lacha Amaisa, then it's already Kran Nasa Maisal Pi. What is he going to swear if he's not going to get anything for it? So that's Nasa Maisal Pi. But before he swears, it's not yet Nasa Maisal Pi. So in such a case, if he didn't swear yet, the din should be that the Nitva can back out only if the Taveh already did swear. The Nitva says if the Taveh will swear that the evidence is, that the Shor is his, then I'll give it to him. So after he swore, then it's too late for the Litvin to say, I back out. But before he swore not, so that's the problem. The Gemara in Bava Basra sounds like it says not so. Take a look in the second Taisus on Chav Dalon and Beis, where they have the parentheses, Bava Basra Kuf Chav Ches, the third Yeshnech. So the story is that Taveh screams, Avdi Gan Achto, or he tiny, Shori Gatav Achto, you stole, you were mazing me, whatever. And the other guy says, Atim Achati, Latin Sabdim Maton, you sold it to me, you gave it to me. He says, I don't know who you are, Kaifa Hako. He says, the whole thing is not true. But then he offers him, the Nitva offers the Taveya, Ritzoincha Hishaveya Batul, if you want to, swear, and I'll agree, if you'll swear that it's yours, I'll pay you all the money, I'll give it to you. So the Girsan, the Gemara sounds like it says, that's what we're holding by that. He made an offer, the Nitva offered the Taveya, if you'll swear, I'll pay you all the money. So it sounds like the Halach is, that's it, the Nitva cannot back out, and if the Taveya will swear, the Nitva has to pay. Why can't he back out? Why can't the Nitva back out? It's Kodim Shenishba, it's like Kodim Shenasa Maisalpi. So it's not binding. And the Gemara says, Nishba Beini Achalachzaboy. The Halach is that the Taveya swears, and the Nitva cannot back out. Mashma Zaktesis from the Gemara would appear, Miyad Shomar Hishaveya Betul, the moment that the Nitva makes the offer, I offer you, if you'll swear, I'll pay you the money, Farfar, so the Nitva cannot change his mind. Why can he not change his mind? It's Betan Loch. Betan Loch is only Lachak Madin when it's already Nasa Maisal Piv. That's Rabbeinu Tam's Kash. Rashma from the Gemara. Miyad Shoma, once he makes the offer, he shaveh betul, is already Farfar. Chaveri Shaveya, the Taveya has the right to swear. Then Yochel Achzabah, why? It's the Alma, what do you see from the Kodim Radin and Yochel Achzabah? So the Rabbeinu Tam says it must be a Toasoifer in the Gemara and Bava Basra. You have to add a Vov. You have to be Magia, the Girsan Bava Basra. The story reads like this. The Nitva offered the Taveya. Taveya says, you stole my behemoth, you stole my Eved, give it back. And the Nitva says, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're talking about. This is mine. I bought it from you. You gave it to me, Matana. It never belonged to you. I got it from my great-great-grandfather. It has nothing to do with you. It's Kaifer Hakol. And then the Nitva says, if you'll swear that it's yours, I'll give it to you. So in the event that the Taveya went ahead, Vinishba, if he swore already, then the psak is any achlas, but because man that the Taveya didn't swear, then the Nitva came back in. That's how the Rabbi and Tam changed the gears. They added on above, Vinishba, not that the psak, the Aloch is, Nishba v'ni achlas above, that the Taveya has a right to swear, and the Nitva has to pay. No, part of the story is Vinishba, and the Taveya swore already, so Shai Nasa Maisal Piv, so then it's too late for the Nitva to say he wants the back end. That's how the Rabbi Natam was forced into being Magia, the Girsa, because of our Gemara. That the only time he said the Etenloch, the only time the Nitva has to pay, even though he wants the back out, is only if it's Nasa Maisal Piv or Lachak Mardin. But there, it's neither. So other Rishonim, the Minchas Chinuch has a piece on this. Other Rishonim disagree with the Rabbi Natam, they have the old Girsa. And they're not thrilled about changing a Girsa. You add on a Vav, he changed the whole story. So the other Rishonim say no. There were two different points of Nigmar Adin, Gemar Adin. That was the Shach. So there are two different halachas. One vort of Gemar Adin is Lacha Shanasa Maisal Piv. So that would be an example. Let's say Nishma. The guy goes ahead and he swears. Then the other guy says, oh, I was just kidding. Even though he swore, I'm not going to pay the money. So he says, I don't go swear all the time. I'm a religious person, I don't swear all the time. You told me that if I swear, if I go out of my way and I swear, you're going to pay me the money. So now it's binding on you. I went and I did something that I would normally not do. I only did it because on the smach that you promised you're going to pay. So that's Nasa Maisalpi, that we understand. But then there's another kind of Nigmar Adin. That's what the Shach quoted from Rishonim. If you have a kosher bezin and they issued a psach, they would have normally, under normal circumstances, they would never issue such a psach. They're missing Eidim, they're missing a Shavua. But the guy, the Baldin, said, I give you permission to paskin with insufficient evidence. Okay? So, if it's lachak mardin, if the bezin issued a psak, he can only reverse the psak of a kosher bezin if he can demonstrate that they made a mistake. And here, Bishas Meisah, they didn't make any mistake. The nitva authorized them. So here, the other Rishonim hold, let's say we're standing in front of bezin. We're standing in front of bezin, and we're fighting this out. So I say, Abdi Ganafta, or I say, Shori Ganafta. You say, Lahar Dvar Miyodam, it's not true, you're Kaifa Hakko. And then you offer, Ritzayn Chayisha Be'evetu, if the Taveh will swear, if I'll swear, you'll pay me the money. So at that moment, who helped him? The judge has to bang down the gavel when he gives the psak. By us, there is no gavel, there is no judge. If they make it obvious, let's say the bezin doesn't say anything. They hear it in Torah. They hear it in Torah, and he's screaming, and the dying goes like this. If that's understood what it means, so that's also Gemara did. He doesn't have to write it, he doesn't have to sign it, he doesn't have to bang the gavel. If it's understood what the Gemara din is, let's say the dying says, oh, come on. It's obvious, he says, oh, come on, obviously, you don't know what you're talking about. The din is like, he doesn't have to, there is no formality what the nusach has to be. So let's say, have the tever and nitzvah. So the tever said, give me back my shur, give me back my evin. And the nitzvah says, if you'll swear, I'll give it to you. And the bezin is sitting there. So what does the bezin have to say about this? They're in agreement. He just said, if he swears, he's going to give it to him. So that's the psak. If he swears, he gives it to him. Shana, he's get paska. That's the psak. That's what HaGemar did. Does he have to swear? If it would have been, the shach says, if it would have been chutz lebezin, I meet you in the street, there's no bezin. And I say, hey, you gambit my shor, shori ganavta, avdi ganavta, give me back my shor. And you say, what kind of baba maisam? Chartel, nesatel, imaton, I don't know who you are, kaifer hakol. And I say, and then you say, Ritzayin Chayishaveh Avetov. If you swear, I'll give it to you. So then, there is no Bezin present. It's the whole story is Chutzle Bezin. There is no Bezin there. So then you have to have Nasa Maisal Piv. So if I swear Chutzle Bezin, if I swear Chutzle Bezin, that's Nasa Maisal Piv. And I go around swearing all the time. If I have to swear in order to get back my shore, then I'll swear. It's not to swear unnecessarily, I won't swear. So then, I win the case because of Nasa Maisal Piv. But if the whole story happened Difnei Bezin, Bezin is listening, so the Bezin has to repeat. Once the Nitva makes the offer, the Nitva offers the Tavea. If you'll swear, I'll pay you the full amount that you say that I owe you. So the Bezin has to say, okay, we hereby pass from that if he swears, he has to, they don't have to repeat. They have to, what are they, parakeet, a parrot that they have to repeat? They don't have to repeat it. It's move on me'elav, it's self-understood. That's the psak. If he swears, he wins. Shanoiz get paskin. Shanoiz get paskin. There was nothing wrong with the psak. Shas Maisa, there was no error. Later, the nitva changes his mind. He says, no, I changed my mind. I don't want that. But the bezin didn't make any mistake at the time that they made the gemara din. So that's why there's a group of rishonim who hold that the gemara is good the way it says. You don't have to change it vinishba. You have to add on the vav and change the whole case and say, if the taveya had already sworn, then it's Kvandasa Maisal Piv, it's Farfal, it's too late for the Nitva to back out. Even before he swears, the din is, once the Nitva made the offer, and the offer was made Bifnei Bezin, in the presence of a Bezin, and the Bezin is listening, they don't even have to shuffle Tzumit and Kof. They don't even have to say, okay, we go for that. Why not? They don't have to say words. Move on the aim of itself, understood that's the Psak of the Bezin. So that's already Lacha Psak Din. It's not Nasa Maisal Piv yet. No one did any Maisal Piv. He didn't go out on a limb yet. He didn't swear. But that's Lacha Psak Bezin. So Lacha Psak Bezin, you can't reverse the Psak either because the Bezin didn't make any mistake. So it could be the Rabbi Natam also knew this Chochmah, also knew this Einfal. This part the Minhas Chinuch has. It could be that it's a fundamental Machlokes HaRishonim. Can you have such a thing? Is a Gemar Din Allah Tanai? A Psak Din Allah Tanai. Is there such a thing? That the Bezin is sitting listening to a case, the Tabeya screams, Abdi Ganavta. The Nitva says, it's not true. Machatali Nisatali Maton, I got to be Yerusha for my great grandfather. And then the Nitva offers the Tabeya, if you'll swear, I'll pay the full amount. So let's say Bezin will bang down a gavel, the judge will bang down a gavel and say, okay, we hereby declare that Psak Halacha is, if he swears, then you have to pay him the money. And if he doesn't swear, then you don't have to pay him the money because you're a Kaifer Hakel, and Kaifer Hakel doesn't have to pay. So let's say the judge will say, the Dayan will say that. Is that a valid Psak Din? Or do you say, no, it's only a Psak Din, and Bezin says, you're Chayv and you're Patur. But if he says, if it rains, then you're Chayv. And if it doesn't rain, then he's Chayv. Is that a Psak Din Allah Tanai? So the Minhas Chinuch shows that that's a Machlokes HaRishonim. In another context he shows. Can you have a Psak Din that's Tovah D'Yomid, that is dependent? If this will happen, then the Din will be like this. And if that will happen, then the Din will be like that. Maybe there's no such thing as a Psak Din, unless it's Mukhlot, unless it's absolute. So it could be that that's what the Rabbein and Tam didn't like. The other Rishonim had the Girs and the Gemara without the Vav. Because they understood the whole story happened in front of Bezin. Not that it happened Chutz L'Bezin. this whole fight between the Tever with the Nifta, Avdigan after, Shoita Vachta, and so on, everything happened in front of Bezin. And when the Nitva makes the offer, so Bezin doesn't even have to shokel tzu mitten kup. They don't even have to bump kenach. The same thing, it's self-understood that that's the psak of Bezin. And a psak alatana is also a psak. So lach ala psak, it's too late to back out. The psak b'shaita was not an error. So the psak is binding based on the principle beidina basa beidina loy danken. So it could be the rabbi, the Tam disagrees and he holds no, there's no such thing as a psak alatana. A psak always has to be mukhlut. So that could be that that's a machlek, it's on a level of deraisa. Is there such a concept as a psak ala tanai? Different and different, each case is a different story. What's the definition of a gemar din? Each case is a different din. So here the Shach pointed out from the early Rishonim, there are two concepts of gemar din. One concept of the gemar din is nasa maisal pib, when the dayanim apostle is dayanim. And one concept of lacha gemar din is when the kosher is dayanim, and it's a psak that they would only have the right to pass on like that if the both parties approved, if they gave permission. But once they gave permission, the Bezin didn't make an error, then the psak of the Bezin is a kosher Bezin. It made a good psak. So it's binding because of the psak, not binding because nasa maisal piva heischaibis min achuz. Anyway, that's a fascinating sugya. That's the whole topic of Kabbalah's treivim apsulim. So that's just to review b'kitzer. Rabbi Yosef Engel points out in his long essay, very long piece in Gilyon Yashas, it's not that you can change the laws of the Torah. The laws of the Torah never change. You cannot be Mekabel, Apostle of Dayan, or Apostle of Aid, and he's going to become a Kosher Aid. The Apostle of Aid remains Apostle, and the Apostle of Dayan remains Apostle. You can make a Hischaivis Midas, you can make a Mechila. Mechila and Hischaivis Kinyan. Hischaivis Midas needs a Kinyan, or it needs. we forgot. We don't remember anything. And then later on they admit that they swear. They swear they don't know anything about anything. And then later on they admit that they swore falsely. So they need a kapara for being mobsted me the whole money. I lost the case because they didn't want to testify. And later on, for a problem, later on they can't testify. The Mishnah says, if they want to come later and testify, after they said in court, Shvur Shein on the Yodim Lechaedis, we swear we don't know anything about it, then either for one reason or another, the Rishonim discuss it, they cannot testify later. Rashi claims Kivin Shigin Shivin Achayzer Magin, and other Rishonim give different reasons, but whatever it is, later on as far found, they cannot change their mind. So they are now, they have now done two averes. Number one, they were mopsed me mom because of their refusal to testify. Number two, they swore falsely, so they need a kapara. So the Torah requires that they have to bring Chatas Ol Biyori. That's one of the three cases where you bring a Chatas Ol Biyori. That's called Shvur Seidus. We forgot. We don't remember anything. And then later on they admit that they swear. They swear they don't know anything about anything. And then later on they admit that they swore falsely. So they need a kapara for being mobsted me the whole money. I lost the case because they didn't want to testify. And later on, for a problem, later on they can't testify. The Mishnah says, if they want to come later and testify, after they said in court, Shvur Shein on the Yodim Lechaedis, we swear we don't know anything about it, then either for one reason or another, the Rishonim discuss it, they cannot testify later. Rashi claims Kivin Shigin Shivin Achayzer Magin, and other Rishonim give different reasons, but whatever it is, later on as far found, they cannot change their mind. So they are now, they have now done two averes. Number one, they were mopsed me mom because of their refusal to testify. Number two, they swore falsely, so they need a kapara. So the Torah requires that they have to bring Chatas Ol Biyori. That's one of the three cases where you bring a Chatas Ol Biyori. That's called Shvur Seidus. Shvur Satikodin is another din. Shvur Satikodin is another din. That's Hashem Gzeilus. Yeah. Shvur Seidus Shvur Satikodin is an Osham. That's Hashem Gzeilus. This is Achatas. Achatas Ol Biyori. So the Mishnah says that Shvur Seidus ain't in the Hekes Ol Biksheri. The din of Shvur Seidus only applies if the Eidim are kosher Eidim. If the Eidim are Pasal Eidim, the Kraivim or the Rishoyim, so even if they would have come to testify in Bezin, they wouldn't have been able to help me out. They wouldn't have won the din Torah anyway. So it's not right that they swore falsely. They swore falsely, but still they didn't do the other aver of being mocked at me. The moment said the whole thing of Shua Seidus doesn't apply. That's an issue. So Yishami Frek Takasha, But what if, why is it such a clear-cut psak that Shavuos Eidus ain't an Eges Ela B'Ksheira? Sometimes even Eidim Sulam will be Masad Mikigoyim, like the case in our Mishnah. We all said, if my father and my uncle and my wife and my brother-in-law will come and testify, we'll all be Mekabaliyatis. And the case will be Mekabal, then if they would have come and testified, they would have helped me in the case. I would have won the case. Now that they swear falsely, they lose the case. And Rishami says it doesn't make a difference. Why? So all the Rishani explained to Rishami, even when the halacha says that when you Mekabal Pasala Eidim, it's binding and you have to... It's not binding mitam edus. It's a hischayvus menachutz. It's either a mechila yitzricha kinyan if it's b'machaloch, if the taveh forgoes his claims, or if the nitva forgoes his rights, if the nitva agrees to pay, betenloch is a hischayvus that's binding for some reason or another. But it's not that the pasul eidim become kosher. Pasul eidim remain pasul. There's no way in the world that you can make with kabbalas bavadin. We don't make pasul eidim into kosher. It's not that you can't say. I'm still going to remain posel. So that's how you have to learn this Gemara. The next Mishneh, Chavdal and Beis, already goes into the dinim of who is the Rasha who is posel. The Mishneh Chavdal and Beis is about Rishoyim, and the Mishneh on Chav Zayin and Beis is about Kraven. This is very, these sugyas are very, very relevant. Halacha l'maisa, which Rishoyim are Pasul Eidus and which Kroivim are Psulim Eidus. So the Mishnah starts listing of the Elohim are Psulim, the following people are Pasul Eidus mitam Rosh. And the Mishnah, Zog, a guy robs a bank. Give a case. Doesn't give a normal case. I stick my hand into someone's pocket and I take out his wallet. Doesn't give a normal case. He gives funny cases. I'm sachik bikuvi. A gambler and he won and he took the other one's money. The guy gave him the money. Sachik bikuvi. Hamalva biribis. Mafriche yoyim. Secher ishvis. Why don't you give a normal case? The Taisvis has the comment. Taisvis elohim apsulim writes. Yesh gorsim. Some had the girisir. Avodim. When it says velohim apsulim avodim. The Taisvis says they think that girisir is not correct because the halacha that an ebit knaini. Ebit ibi is kosher latis. Ebit knaini is pos latis menat teira. So Taisus, in the last four lines in Taisus, they quote the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Peches, Kalachayim and Meisho, that Ebek Nain is Pasulayt is Menater. It says on the left-hand side, it's in Bava Kama Peches, what they're quoting. So that's an often din, Ebek Nain is Pasulayt is Menater. So Taisus says, the whole Mishnah is only listing off their Rabbanans. The Mishnah is not listing off people who are Pasulayt is Menater. That's a Mishnah in Shavuos that has, Shavuos Eidus 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 Eidus. So it says, Ketanim, Kherish, Eitav, Ekotten, Eved, Isha, Akum, all those people are Pasul Eidus. Kroivim, Rishoyim. So the Mishnah there says, who is Pasul Eidus Menater? This Mishnah, number one, the word Avodim doesn't belong for two reasons. Number one is only listening of Psulim de Rabbanon. He's not listening of Psulim de Raisin. Number two, he's only listening of Psulim de Rabbanon that are called the Tikkun Rabbanon, Kain de Raisin, Tikkun, a takeoff on the din of Russia. An Eved Kenaini is not a Russia. An Eved Kenaini is an Eved. He's not a Russia. But these in the Mishnah, Elam Apsulim, this is an extension, but it's a din there, right? So that the Russia is Pasulaitis. So in the Rabbana, we added on more people to the category of Russia. Although Minatara, they're not Rishoyim, in the Rabbana, we said that these people are Rishoyim and they're Pasulaitis. So that's what Taisa says, the Girsa of Elam Apsulim Ha'avadim, the word Avadim doesn't belong over here. There is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chav Beis on the margin. They tell you to look in Rosh Hashanah at the end of the second parak, the end of the first parak of Rosh Hashanah, the end of the first parak of Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says there a din, a very important halacha. It's the Nagel halacha. Let's say by an issue of an agunim, a shaila meis bailo. We don't know if the husband is alive or dead. So the pashtus in the Gemara is that menateri you need two kosher eidim, pashut pshat. And they're right, it's an issue of davar she'be'erva, whether the woman is still an eishes ish or no longer an eishes ish. And with the Rabbanon, it sounds the simple pshat in the Gemara, with the Rabbanon they were makel that you can accept eid echad. So once they were makel that you can accept eid echad, it means that you don't need all the rules and regulations. A problem, how could they change the din menateri? They allow an eishes ish to go violate loisinach. It's a major problem, all the Rishonim talk about it. But that's what it sounds from the Gemara, that when Torah the din is that you really needed two kosher Eidim, and when the Rabbanim, you should be going to kill the Rabbanim, however you're supposed to understand that Gemara. They were Mekel, and they said that Echad is good. So once they were Mekel, that Echad is good, you don't need two kosher Eidim, you don't need two Eidim. So the Mela, Anisha is good, and Kreishim are good, and the Nebuchadnezzar is good, and Shivchat Nainis is good. On the level of the Raisin, you needed two kosher Eidim. Once the same with the Rabbanim, that Echad is good, so all the Psulim, but nonetheless, the Gemara says, "A gazlon shel Torah posel eidus ish." Gazlon shel Torah, a bank robber, a guy who steals from other people, a guy who cheats in business. A gazlon shel Torah is posel eidus ish. Even though all the other psulim are good, kroivim are good, and sachik bekuvia, all these people are only gazlon shel divrayim, kosher eidus ish. That's that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah at the end of the first parak. Gazlon shel divrayim is kosher eidus ish, as opposed to gazlon shel Torah. Why is the Gazlan Shalter Pasalaitis Isha Manishtana? All the other Psulim are acceptable. Kroivim and everybody else is good. Nevekneini is good. And Nedechad is good. And Isha is good. So why is only Gazlan Shalter? So the explanation appears in the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara says, Kroivim are not good, are not kosheladis. Why is that? Is that because b'choshed that they're going to be mishaker? Gemara says no. What about Moshe v'Aaron? That's the Loshon of Gemara. What about Moshe v'Aaron? B'choshed they're going to tell two brothers. B'choshed they're going to tell a lie. Moshe Rabbeinu together with Aaron. They're not kosher b'shum mishaker. Elamai. It's a gzeiris hakosuf. That's what we would say. The Gemara calls it gzeiris hamelach. We would call it. They're not like gzeiris hakosuf. Rachok. The Gemara says Exeris Hamel, but Rishoyim Apsulim Leid is because there's a Hashash Meshaker. That's why. What's an Afkamina on the level of their Isis? So the Gemara gives an Afkamina on the level of their Isis the following way. Let's say we have a Shtar. I have a Shtar that says you owe me $1,000 and it's signed by two witnesses and the date is 5 years ago. These two witnesses 5 years ago were two good friends and in the last couple of years they became brothers-in-law. One of them married the sister of the other one. So now the psulim ladies, now if they'll sign a shtar, it's no good because they're two brothers-in-law. But at the time, according to the date, they were both single at the time, so they weren't related to each other. So at that time, they were kosher ladies. So the Gemara says, a good shtar, I could be mighty mammon based on the shtar. What if I have a shtar that was signed 5 years ago by two people, and since then they became ganavim? 5 years ago they were erlich, they were honest, and the last 5 years they became ganavim. So the Gemara says, how do you know that the shtar was really signed 5 years ago? Ganovim ha-chashudim l'shakem. Maybe they just wrote the shtar today. Today. The ink is dry. Maybe they wrote it last year. And they already were ganovim a year and a half ago. Ganovim, one was a gazlan shalter, is choshud l'shakem. So you cannot even trust what it says in the shtar. Unless we saw the shtar was there sitting here for the last 5 years. Unless the Dez knows that the shtar was in existence before they became Ganavim, so then it'll taka be good. But if we don't know one way or the other, then we cannot accept such a shtar because we have to be choshesh l'shaker. That's how the Gemara says. How did the Chazal know that a Russia is choshesh l'shaker? Maybe it's also gzeris hamelach? No, that's what the pasuk says. Al toshes yotchem Russia liyos eit chomos. Rashi quotes the pasuk on this Mishnah where it says Shmois Chav Gimel in the Rashi. And Av Chav Dalar on the base. So the Chazal understood the Mashmores, you're not allowed to accept the testimony of an Eid Rasha because you have to be Choshish, that he's Meshaka. It doesn't say it's a Gzeris HaKosim. The Rasha is Pasolaitis because of Chashash Meshaka. So that's on the level of the Raisa, El Chapa Nafkemine, that's the Gemara in Bava Basra. That's the Gemara at the end of Bava Basra about these two shtaris. The shtar which has the two signatures that were signed, supposedly, has the date from 5 years ago. And in the last 5 years, they became kroivim zelazeh. They became brothers-in-law. So that would be kosher, because kroivim yachoshesh tata mishaker. So we assume that it's an authentic shtar that was written 5 years ago before they became kroivim. But if it's a shtar that has the date from 5 years ago, and the last 5 years they became ganavim, then you wouldn't rely on such a shtar. That's on the level of the Raisa, the difference. On the level of the Rabbana, we have a Chapsan of Kemina by Aguna, by Eidus Aguna, that we will accept Eid Echad, and we will accept Isha, we will accept Eved, and Akum, Yisrael, we will accept everybody. But the Gazon Shalter we will not accept. because the Gazon Shal Teres Choshed L'Shaker, we cannot accept what he says. And nonetheless, the Gazon Shal Devreim is Choshed Leides Ish. Even though the Gazon Shal Devreim, all of these Chevre, Amisachet Bikuvia, Malva Berivis, Mafrichiyem, Serchishvitz, all these people are called the Tikkun Rabban and came there, I said Tikkun, they didn't invent a new category, absolutely. They said all these fall under the category of Rosh, and on the level of the Raisa, Rosh has a Hashash Meshaker. But this category, the Gazon Shal Devreim, there's no Hashash Meshaker. That's what the Gemara says, that by Eidus Isha, we would accept their Eidus. Kol Eidus Isha Ksheira Law, all these people are Rosh Kosher. Only in that case where Isha Psuva Law, like by Kiddush HaChodesh. That's why it's in the end of the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, by Kiddush HaChodesh, where you need two Kosher Eidim, you wouldn't accept the testimony of an Isha, so you wouldn't accept the Machricha Yoyin and Misachi B'Kuvi either. But by case of Eidus Isha, where you don't need all the formalities, the only one is Eidus is not accepted as the Gazon Shal Torah, because he's Choshev L'Shaker. So these people are not Choshesh that they're Meshaker. There's only a Psul de Rabbana, and it's only on the level of the Rabbana, it's like Zeres HaKosim. Do you have that on the level of the Raisa? Called the Tikkun Rabbana came the Raisa Tikkun. Gazon Shal Torah is Choshev L'Shaker. Do you have any Rosha de Raisa who's Pasul Eidus, who's not Choshev L'Shaker? Is there such a thing? So that's a big issue, very halacha l'maisa. The Ktzoyis has this, and a long Pisrei Tshuva in Eben Ezra has this. It is a Gemara Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. There are six cases where there's a machlokes Abai v'Rava, and the din is like Abai against Rava. Usually in Gan Shas, whenever there's a machlokes Abai v'Rava, we pass like Rava, except for the Yalkagam. There's six cases. Tosis points out, the Mashor points out, this was already known during the lifetime of Abai v'Rava. It had already been voted. It wasn't voted later. Tosis points it out. And the Mashor has it also. During their lifetime, it had already been determined, it had already been voted, that the din is like Rava, except for Yalkakam, that the din is like Abaye. The Gemara has an expression that the Talmidim of Abaye and Rava used to vie with each other. One shalom by our Rebbe, one shalom by our Rebbe. So Rava's Talmidim used to tell Abaye's Talmidim, Ad gamisa garmi, garmi abones. Instead of chewing the dry bones by Abaye, so achli bisrishmeine bei Rava, come learn by Rava the fat flesh. So the Pashup Shat is not that he had a better food, better meals in his cafeteria than Abaye's. It means that the Torah was fatter. Instead of learning dry bones, what does Abaye have? He doesn't know how to learn the Talmidim of Rabbis. Instead of chewing dry bones, to come achli bisrishmeina, eat the fat flesh bei Rava. Rava has everything. So the Mashor has a comment that the word garmi, dry bones, is a gematria of Yalkagam. And he quotes that Tosis. There's a Tosis. The Tosis says already during the lifetime of Abaye v'Rava, it was already accepted that the halacha is only like Abaye b'Yalkagam, and all other cases the halacha is like Rava. So the Gemara in this daf has two of the Yalkagam. Chav Zayin Amud Aleph has two. So on the top line of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph is the Ayin of Ya'alkagam, Yudayin Lamed. The Ayin is Eid Zayin. Whether Lamafreya Nifsa Mekam Laba Nifsa, the din is like Abaye. That Lamafreya Nifsa, we'll have to forget this. It's a very Gishmaka Sukhya, very important, very Lamdisha Sukhya. It's relevant for Yerideya, of all. It's relevant for Tarubis, this Sukhya. That's the first half of the Daf. Then the second half of the Daf, the Gemara has about 15 lines from the top. The line begins with an asterisk, and it says, Vehilchus Akalasa Dabai B'Yalkagam. That's the ayin of the Yalkagam, Eid Zaymin Lamafreya Nifsa. Then starts the tiny letter base. Mumar echon de beilis l'teyavim. That's the mem of Yalkagam. Mumar. Also machlekes Abaye v'Rava. If the fellow is a mumar, how does it say? Mumar echon de beilis l'teyavim. L'teyavim means like this. The fellow doesn't keep kosher because it's too expensive. If it wouldn't be so expensive, he would keep kosher. It means kashrus is from his principles. He has a lot of principles. He's ethical, moral, and he doesn't run around with other people's women, wives, and son, doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, and then kashrus is also one of his principles. But if it's too expensive, then he'll compromise. So if you see that the guy's prepared to compromise on his principles for chimud mammon, for taibus mammon, then maybe one of his principles is always to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, and unless they pay me enough money, then I'll compromise. Just like I'll compromise on this principle, for money, so I'll compromise on this principle. So that's what the Gemara says. If the fellas are noichal nedeles l'teyovin, he eats trade because it's less expensive, it's too expensive to keep kosher, then everybody agrees. Why is he? Why do they all agree puzzle? That's the same as Russia. Why is a ganav puzzle like this? Because he gambles? No. Because he knows that it's not right to gamble, but he compromises on his principles for chem this moment. So the same is true, even if a ganav is an aver ben odom ha-chaveir, and kashrus is an aver ben odom ha-mokim, but it doesn't matter what the principle is, whether the principle is ben odom ha-mokim or ben odom ha-chaveir. A guy who has principles and he's prepared to be mevater, on his, to compromise his principles for chem das moment, that's called a gazlan. That's a gazlan shalter. That for sure is puzzleitis. What if, let's say, he's a reform or a conservative person? Kashrus is just not one of his principles. He just doesn't hold from kashrus, period. Anerlecha, I'll never tell a lie, I'll never cheat anyone, I'll never trip you up, never trick you, never fool you. It just doesn't keep kosher, even if it costs the same. He doesn't believe him. It's not from his principles. So that's a machloikis. It's not that he compromises his principles for chem this moment. It's just not one of his principles. So is such a person posulatus or not? So that's a machloikis abayvarov. Here's a shayla. What do you mean it's not one of his principles? Is it a chanapikiris? What do you mean? He doesn't believe in kashrus. What do you mean he doesn't believe? He eats lahachas means kashrus is not from his principles. Is that in chumish? It means he doesn't believe the chumish Torah min hashamayim. So how can you have a mumar lehachis? Mumar lehachis should be an apikaris din akakum. So that's a kasha the Rishonim discussed. The Gemara doesn't discuss it. The Rishonim asked that kasha, the Torah Sabayis, the Rajman of Torah Sabayis, and the Yeredeya, and the Ilcha Shchita, they pilpul about the Rajman of Torah Sabayis. Let him be an apikaris din akakum. That's not how it's a good kasha. It's a murderous kasha. You got to figure out a good theory. But the Gemara doesn't talk about that kasha. The Gemara ignores it. It's a big problem. The Gemara says, we're concentrating on the psul rasha. So if the fellow is a mumma lahachis, means when he's eating treifis, on the benes lahachis, he's not compromising any principles for chem this moment. They're just not from his principles. So that's a machloikis abai v'rob. Rob amma kosher? Why is kosher? So rob holds, rasha the chomaz binim. The only rasha whose posulate is the rasha who's a gazlan. What do you mean a gazlan? Either that, or he violates the principle of kashrus or whatever principles because of chem this moment. You see that he's prepared to compromise his principles for money, so maybe he'll give eight a sheker for money also, only when there's a chashash meshaker. But if you have an erlecha person, an erlecha reformed Jew, there are such people, erlecha, honest, absolute, but just doesn't believe in anything. Doesn't believe in the Bar Yerlam, doesn't believe in Torah Menashman, doesn't believe in anything. But is there an elecha? You have a goy most like that, elecha? You have an elecha person. So Rabbah holds that is kosher. Rabbah holds, that's the question, let it be an apikaris dinakam. But Rabbah holds that what? That the only psul of Russia that you have is when there is a chashash meshaker. And when it's mumba lahachis, you don't see any chashash meshaker. So there's no psul Russia. And Abayi disagrees with Rabbah, and he holds that it's not correct. That even a mumma urchal nevelis lahachis is also postulatus. That's how we pass from like Abayi, the mem of Yalkigam is Mumar Echon, the Vez Lachas is postulatus. So the Ketzois HaChoshen started a whole discussion. The Ketzois has it, a little paragraph, and he didn't say anything. But today, this is a big thing. The Ketzois has this Shaila. We have a shtar that was written 5 years, the date in the shtar is 5 years ago. The same Chad Gadya like we had before. You have a shtar that has a date from 5 years ago. And at the time that the people signed the shtar, according to the date, they were absolutely religious people. And then it became a Reform Jew. And the last 5 years it became a Reform Jew, doesn't believe in anything. Chayzer b'sheila, as they call it. Originally he was absolutely religious, and now he doesn't believe in anything. So the shayla is it the din is like Abai that is postulated. But did Abai mean to say, Abai meant to say that there are two dinim in Russia. There's one din of Russia, but there's a chashash meshaker. That's mumar on the vedus l'teyovim, where he's compromising on his principles. Then there's another din of Russia, that's Xeris HaMelech. There's no chashash meshaker. Just like Kratom is Xeris HaMelech, so too Rishoyim is also Xeris HaMelech. When it's a mumar lahachis, it's just Xeris HaKosuv. Or maybe Abai meant to say, no, masking with Rav. A Russia is always a chashash meshaker. But he holds even one who's only a Russia. The hachis is also chashash meshaker. He looks to us to be erlach, He never tells a lie, he's very straightforward, he would never cheat anybody in business, he never steal a penny. But we assume that whoever is a Rasha Lahachis is also Chashad L'Shaker. So the Tzoyz quotes this in the name of the Mesivis. That's one of the early Rishonim. Mesivis, but amen. The Mesivis has the Shai Lepis from the Goyinim, they quote from the Goyinim, they're Mesupik about this in the middle of Hilchus Taurus. But he has the Shaila, the date on the Shtar is 5 years ago, and according to the date, the witnesses at that time were Erlach and Frum and 100%. And in the last 5 years, they became Rosha the Lav Lechomis. They became a Mumala Lehachis. So the din is like Abai, that the Pasalaitis. But at the time that they signed, they were kosher. But can we believe them? Maybe the Hashidim Lashak, maybe we can't believe them that they signed it 5 years ago. Because before they became Rosh Alahachas. So does Abaye disagree? We pass on like Abaye. What Nekuda of Rava does he disagree? Did he mean to say Asadot Tzvei Alach? It's the two different dinim. There's one din of Rosh Alteyovan, who's a Chashu L'Shaker, and there's a Tzvei Talach of Rosh Alav Dechamos, a Rosh Alahachas, where it's a Gzeres HaKosov, a Gzeres HaMelach. Or did Abaye mean to say no, that it's a Chashash M'Shaker? So this Shaila, on the level of their Isa, by the shtar that's dated, that has a date from 5 years ago, has an afkemina halacha l'maisa by agunas. That's the most common shan comes up all the time. In recent years, you have someone is missing, a Jewish soldier is missing, a man is missing, and an erechet comes to testify that I know that he's dead. And the guy comes to testify is an honest person, absolutely reformed Jew. He doesn't keep anything. Let's say some Israeli doesn't believe in anything. In the army, he says his body in the same tank was killed. Meis Kvartov says he's dead, we buried, I buried him, and I don't have the dead body, it's over there somewhere. I know Bavada that he's dead. The Gemara said, B'shas Mochama, you can't believe in Eidecha, but he says, Meis, maybe he fainted. Maybe you don't have time to go check to see if the pulse is, if he's really dead or not. But let's say he says, Meis Kvartov, I buried him. I know for sure that he's dead. I know for sure that it was him. I checked his dog tag, we know it was him. But the guy he's testifying is not a Gazlan Shal Torah, he's an Erlecha, but he's a Rasha, he's a Mumma Lahachas, let's say. So that's the suffix on the level of the Rabbanim, that we accept all Psulim by Yedis Isha, except the Gazlan Shal Torah. Because the Gazlan Shal Torah is Chashuv L'Shaker, so would Abaye say that in this case he's also Chashuv L'Shaker? Oh no, maybe Abaye just meant to say there are two Dinim. There's one Din of Russia that's Chashuv L'Shaker, there is another din of Russia that's Gzeres HaMelech, not Chashuv L'Shaker. So Lamaisa, we know that we're always Mekel on this. Lamaisa, we know we're always Mekel, and ready Europe, after the First World War, after the Second World War, sometimes they relied, many times, not sometimes, many times, they relied on Edis of an Eidechud who was absolutely not religious whatsoever, but he seemed to be an honest person. If he would be a Gazan Shal Torah, he's Chashuv L'Shaker, so they can't accept him even Vedas Isha. Even though, he'll only tell a lie to cheat, to steal a couple of dollars, and to be machshel a woman, eishes ish, that far he wouldn't tell a lie. So that the Gemara talks about that. If you know that he's chashuv l'shaker on little things, then you have to be concerned, is he also chashuv l'shaker on big things? So that's part of the sugya, chabazayim, we'll have to get to that. But let's say you have a person, never chashuv l'shaker, just that he doesn't believe in anything, doesn't keep anything. Did Abaye mean to say that he's chashuv l'shaker? So the pashtus from this halacha, getting back to this Mishnah that we started on Chavdala on the days, the Pashtus is, the Allah is all these people, Mesach HaBekuvim, Alba Beridus, Mafrich Yonim, they are kosher Leidus Isha. Kol Leidus Isha Ksheira Lo, these people are also kosher. Only Gazan Shal Torah is Pasal Leidus Isha, but Gazan Shal Devarim is kosher Leidus Isha. How do you split? You mean, these people are Pasal only with the Rabbanim. They're not Pasal with the Torah. We're going to have to see the Torah. They're only Pasal with the Rabbanim. And every din the Rabbanim is called the Tikkur Rabbanim Kein, their eyes tikkun. So what is it patterned after? So it's patterned after Rosh. How can it be patterned after Rosh? But Rosh, the din Rosh, their eyes is Chashuv L'Shaker. These guys are not Chashuv L'Shaker. He just said it's good faith to Sisha. So how is it Kein, their eyes? So if you would accept that view, that Lamaisa we do accept. Lamaisa we do accept it. If you accept that Tzad that the Nesivis suggested, that the Ksois quotes in a long Pizchei Tshuva, Simen Yud Zayin in Ebenezer is the longest Simen of all of the Dalet Chalke Shulach. Simen Yud Zayin is all about Heter Agunas. That's the history of the Klal Yisrael. And every generation there were adifas and pogroms, and they found dead bodies, and they didn't know exactly to identify whether this is the husband, not the husband. So they go through the whole history of the Jewish people, the Simen Yud Zayin. So every Every gory detail is described there. Well, the kishkas are coming out. He's wearing tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam when the boat sank. Every possible case is described there of a dead body and ascertaining who he is. So there's a long pischei tshuva there. Siman Yudzayin also. So there's a long pischei tshuva on this topic that the Ksais touched on, where there are mumer lahachis is kosher leidus isha or not. So lemaisa, we're mekel on that. Bottom line, we're mekel on that. Shver psak. Why we mekel? Because we assume it's about tzvei halachas. They're two different dinim. There's one din, a gazlon shel teira is kosher l'shaker. There's another din, a gazlon, even a mumer lahachis is also kosher, but it's not kosher l'shaker. That's a gzeres hamelach with an afkamina for the shtar that has a date from 5 years ago. So this category of mesachet b'kuvia, malva beribis, yeah, this is all the rabbanon. Called the tikkur rabbanon, kein deraisa tikkun. Yeah, which kein deraisa? It's kein deraisa of the mumah lahachas. It's not kein deraisa of the mumah l'teyofen where there's a choshev l'shaker. This is called the tikkur rabbanon, kein deraisa tikkun of the mumah lahachas that there's a gzeres hamelach, there's a gzeres hakosav, a psul roshe, even though there is no chashash m'shaker. That's the easy way to learn. That's the easy way. So the Mishnah is listing off people who are only pasaleidus midirabbanim. So Tosfos has a whole topic over here. And why pray tell are they only pasaleidus midirabbanim? Why aren't they pasaleidus midirabbanim? Why are they only pasaleidus midirabbanim? Why shouldn't they be pasaleidus midirabbanim? So Tosfos goes one by one. So they say like this, let's say, Hamasachik Bikuvim. Masachik Bikuvim means we were gambling, and I won. The Shlemiel who loses is not Pasolatus. It's the guy who wins. He's the one who's Pasolatus. So why is he Pasolatus? What's wrong? So the Gemara has two explanations. We're going to get into it, but before you go into all the details, just on the Mishnah, Tosfos says the Gemara has superficially two Hesberim. One Hesber is that the guy who won is a Gazlan. Even if you steal a penny, you're a gazla. Even if you make a parnasu, I make a good parnasu, I have a full-time job, but I go and I shoplift and I steal from other people, so that's also a gazla. A gazla is posulated. So one sheet in the Gemara is that Hamasachik Bikuvi is posulated because he's a gazla. Why is he a gazla? But the other guy paid me, we played dreidel, and he gave me the money, played cards, whatever he said. If he loses, he's going to pay. He pays. He pays Baratzen. So the Gemara says, no, even though he pays with a smile, but if he would have known that it's not legally binding, that Al-Pidin, he doesn't have to pay. We're going to have to learn the whole Gemara, what the words Asmachta mean. If he would have known, maybe he wouldn't want to give it. So the winner, the one who walks off the money, has money that really doesn't belong to him. The din should really be that he should give back the money to the other one, so he's a gazlan. That's one explanation in the Gemara. That's not the shita that we accept. We pass on that. The only time the Mesachik Bikuvia who wins the gambling, the one who loses is Koshle, the one who wins is Pasul, it's only if that's what he does for a living, if he's a professional gambler. But if he makes a living and once in a while he goes to Atlantic City and he gambles, even though it's not proper, we'll have to learn how improper it is, we'll have to discuss it. The Shulchan Aruch passed on the Rambam that it's an absolutism. So the Tais is a little soft on it. Tais is not so strong. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like Tais is on this case. Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Rambam that it's a real issa to gamble. So so we paskin la locha that the one who wins in gambling is only pasulatus if that's what he does for a profession. And so why does it make a difference whether he's a professional gambler or he makes a living? No, the reason why he's pasulatus is not because of a gazlan, but because ain't oisik b'shuv shalom. Not a normal person. People who don't work for a living may have a different perspective on the whole all of life, and they may give a shekel. Okay. So Taisa says like this: if the reason, the way we pass from Allah, that the misachik bekuvia, the gambler who wins, is postulated is only if this is what he's a professional gambler. This is what he lives off. He doesn't have a normal parnasa. And the reason why it's possible, so where is there a pasuk in Chumash on that? So Tosfos says, that we know for sure, with our eyes closed, that's only the Rabbanon. To declare that a person is possible Aedis, because is only a psul the Rabbanon. That we understand. But what if, that's what Tosfos says, that's in the middle of this Tosfos, Ve'elohim Apsul, around 10 lines in. So in the middle of the line, they write, that for sure is only the Rabbanon. And that's the way we pass. Fine. But what about there was the first opinion of the Gemara that even if he's not a professional gambler, even if just once in his lifetime he gambled and he won, he's already a gazlan. And a gazlan is posleitis. No, a gazlan is posleitis minatera. Gazlan is posleitis minatera. So why does the Mishnah imply that he's only Eilei Amtsum Midirah Midirabanan? Why is he only a gazlan Midirabanan? Let it be a gazlan minatera. So the simple answer that one would really have a big Yetzirah to say would be that the whole din of Asmachta Lo Kanya is on the Midirabanan. Why is he a gazlan? He agreed we're going to play dreidel for money or cards, whatever it is, and whoever loses has to pay the other guy this amount of money. We agreed. So you say no. It's an asmachta, whatever that means, and it's not legally binding. Where does it say that in the Chumash? So one could argue the point and say maybe that whole halacha, that asmachta will come, maybe that's only with the Rabbanan. So Taisus does not answer that. Other Rishayim say like that. In Choshen Mishpat, the Ramah quotes a Mordechayim Bava Kama who says like that. And there's a Bach in the Choshen Mishpat says like that, that Asmachta Lakanya is only with the Rabbanan, and therefore it leads him to bigger and better ideas. Therefore the Choshen Mishpat has, the Ramon Choshen Mishpat says, when do you say Asmachta Lakanya, that's only between Reuben and Shimon, between two Yechidim. But let's say a guy pledges money and Asmachta to Tzedakah. An example like this, let's say the guy is learning Becharusa, and every day he comes late to the Beis Medrash. The Chavrusa says, I'm going to dump you. I'm going to get myself another Chavrusa. Keep on coming late. I'm losing time. The other guy accepts upon himself a knas. Next time I come late, I'll give $100 to tzedakah. Next time he comes late. So does he have to give the $100 to tzedakah? So it says the Chavrusa Mish, but he does have to. I bet that should really be an asmachta, according to the Gemara. Because what did he wanted to give $100 to tzedakah? He wanted to keep his Chavrusa. So it's like he's promising, please, please, don't dump me. I'm going to come on time. And to emphasize it, I'll even tell you in Gizmat Guzma, if I ever come late, I'll pay $100 for Tzedakah. He didn't really want to give $100. He just wants to maintain his chavrusa. He doesn't want to donate. He doesn't have any money to give the Tzedakah. So it's obvious that he really didn't mean that, but he said it. So that's a shaila v'asmachta. So there are more rights in Choshen Mishpat, but he quotes this Rabbeinu Nisano. The Mordechayim Bava Kama quotes Rabbeinu Nisano. That min atayr asmachta is kanya. The whole din of asmachta lakanya is only a din with the rabbanon. So the rabbanon never made a takana to cheat tzedakah or to cheat hekdesh. So if the guy promised to give so much money to tzedakah in case he'll do something, and he really didn't mean it. He meant to lead you on to believe he's not going to do it. He didn't really mean to give the money. So there are more paskin than in such a case you have to give. And the Bach also has such a. The Bach assumes that asmachta lakanya is only a din with the rabbanon. So he says, by Bnei Noach, the din doesn't apply. By Bnei Noach, the Chachamim left it on the level of their eyes. So if they make his chayvus with an asmachta, if they gamble, whoever wins, so the winner, he can keep it. It's only by us. The Chachamim wanted us to be more edel than the din requires. So by us, they said, if it's an asmachta, asmachta lo kanya. We treat it as gezel. So there is such a sheet in Rishayim, the Rabbein and the Sanu. One of the Bali Ateis holds like that, and the Bach, Aloch HaMais holds like that, Asmachta Lakanya is only with the Rabban. If Taisus would have agreed to that way of thinking that Asmachta Lakanya is only with the Rabbanan, they wouldn't have to work so hard. Taisus over here writes, and this Taisus, Eilehem HaPsulim, it's about the 6th or the 7th time they say, L'chol Psulim de Maslisim, Psulim de Rabbanan Nidu. Everything is the Rabbanan, nothing is their rights. That's why Avodim doesn't belong. Avodim doesn't belong for two reasons. First of all, the Mishnah is only listing off Psulim de Rabbanan. And secondly, the Mishnah only listing up psulim de rabbanon that fall under the category of Rosha. Avodim is a different psulim. Kal v'chomer from Isha. Taisus points out in the last 5 lines. It has nothing to do with the Rosha. So Taisus goes one by one. Sachar b'kuvi, Malva b'rivis, Mashvichi yadim, Sachar shviz. Is going to spend time on each one of the four people mentioned in the Mishnah to explain why is it only the rabbanon. So they say the Sachar b'kuvi is only the rabbanon because I feel the man dal masmachti, he asmachto lakanya, and they come or come, ain't a deraisa, why isn't he a gazlan shaltera? Because he doesn't realize that b'sheikeg, the one who lost when they were playing dreidel or gambling, the one who lost says, okay, with a big smile, he makes him out a check, he takes the money out of his pocket and gives it to him. Zom lechaim from the Ramay Brang Zayla, he gave it to me with a smile. So I thought I'm kaina, I thought he really meant it, the late gomer. Would have known that that's the halacha, asmachta lakanya, I wouldn't have taken it. But I took the money, not realizing that it's gezel. So that's a gazel b'sheikeg. So that's what Taisus says. It's a gazlan b'shoigig, so that's why he can't declare that he's possible in a Torah. Kevin Shein and Sober Lassa Caesar. He didn't realize that he's doing an aver by taking the money from the other one. The other guy gave it to him, Barotz. Taisus writes, the way Taisus writes it, the Achreinim and Chosh Mishpat discuss, what if the person, let's say, knows that he's doing an aver? Let's say a guy's Machal Shabbos, whatever, he does some kind of an aver, but he didn't realize that by doing this aver, you become postulated. And if he would have realized that, he would have thought twice. Maybe he wouldn't have done the aver. So some Achreinim want to say, I think the Sma and the Achreinim have a whole discussion, a Svara that maybe he's also kosher ladies. Even though he clearly did the Aver B'mezid, he knows that all the religious Jews don't eat treifis and they're not Mechal Shabbos, and he is doing it, and he knows he's doing something wrong, but he didn't realize that he become kosher ladies. So some say, based on the Lashon of Taisus, Taisus doesn't just say that the one who won in the gambling is b'shoigek, he didn't realize he's doing an aver. They write, Kevin Shein is sov alasa sisir, he didn't think he did anything wrong. Lovely, they psul their eyes. So it sounds as if you have to know that you become posulatus when you're doing the aver. Even if you know you're doing something wrong, but you didn't realize that this passes uliatus. So some achrayim say that's what it means in Taisus. Okay, that's the question, how far the Taisus goes. For our purposes, just to learn this Mishnah, forgetting about all of Hilchas Eidus, so they say that the Mesachah B'Kuvi is only the Rabbanan because he's a Gazlan B'Shoigek, or they say, or the Mandi Omar, if you say the other reason, that ain't Oisik B'Shuvi Shalom, then for sure it's only the Rabbanan. Pshita Tenel the Rabbanan, that's for sure. That's what Taisa says. Then they say, what about Malva B'Ribis? Malva B'Ribis, Lachmam Shenaver, Der Aisa? The Gemara has two ways to read the word. What's the punctuation? Is it Malva B'Ribis or Milva B'Ribis? Malva means the man who lends his money, beribis, to the loiver. Milva beribis means alone, means that they're both postulators, the malva and the loiver. That's how the Gemara corrects it. The Gemara corrects it at the next daf. We'll have to get there. Rabbi says, you're not supposed to read the Mishnah, hamalva beribis. No, the loiver is also postulators. You have to read the word in the Mishnah, hamilva beribis. All the parties involved in a halva beribis are all postul. All right. So Taisa says, no, they're violating Anissa deraisa. Why aren't they postul when there? So Taisa says, maybe it's only Ribi Sheni Katsutsa. The Yisad Deraisa is only the book Kaitzitz in advance. At the time of the loan, I say, I'm giving you the $1,000 and I expect you to pay me so much and so much percent interest. But if we never fixed it in advance, after I gave you the loan, and then you're about to pay it back, and so then you say, out of appreciation, I'm going to give you back extra. So that's only an Yisad Rabban. So Taisa says, maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Ribi Sheni Katsutsa. Then they say, Afila Mari Beribis Katsutsa. Also, maybe they did it b'shoigeg. A lot of times, if you would go to the bank would charge you 8% interest. You come to me, I'll give you a bargain. You come and you plead with me, I should lend you beribis 4%. I'm doing you a favor. And still, it's an issue there. I say, I'm doing you a favor, I'm only taking 4% interest. So, Taisa said, it didn't occur to either of them that he's doing an aver. He thought he's doing a gemilas chesed. He's doing a mitzvah. He's giving him the loan for 4% instead of 8%. The Taisa says, even if it's ribis derais, it could be, I feel him, I have a ribis shaktsutsu, le mashma lo yisi, kim ne mi dai te yaivlai. He's happy to give it. So he's only posulatus mit derabot. Then they go vayte, what's the other case? Okay, we'll have to, believe that next week I'll be in Eretz Yisrael, the week after. The week after on January 4th, I think, at night, I'll be back already. So in 2 weeks from tonight, we'll continue. This is a very fascinating sugya. This is very gishma. And this week's Sedra, there's the famous pasuk that the Chazal have the comment on. That when the brothers came back and they tell Yaakov Avinu that Yosef is still alive, so he didn't believe them. He keeps on telling them, they don't believe. Then, what changed when he saw the Agolos? Why did anything change? So the Chazal say that, different suggestions, so the Chazal say that the last thing that he learned with him was about Egla Rufa. Yeah, different shot. So what's the significance of the Egla Rufa? So they say over a name of some great Chassidish Tzadikim, they're not sure exactly, the Sfarim that I saw it in more than one place, the Sfarim that I saw it in, they're not sure which Rebbe said it. A very interesting pshat, that one of the dinam of Egla Rufa is, that based on the Balaturim has a good part of this. Balaturim has it. One of the dinam of Egla Rufa is that the Bezna has to say, Yedena l'shavcha es adam hazeh v'yedena l'ro. So So the Mishnah said they asked, "V'chisalka taitach, are we choshet to the bezin that they killed him?" And then al-shavchas adam hazeh. That's ridiculous. Ela, what it means, shaloi patanu v'loi leviyo. But you have to be malaba a person. What good is it? How is it going to help if you're going to be malaba the person? That's going to protect him. How is it going to be good? So the Gemara says that hanifta mechaveiro ayipata memenu alamitoch dvar aloch. Shemitoch kach, zochrei. When you malaba the person, you should say over dvar aloch. And why are you going to remember him? Shemitoch kach, zochrei. You tell him over dvar aloch, why are you going to remember him? So they explain based on the Yerushalmi and Shkolin. The Yerushalmi says, whenever you say over a dvar Torah from someone, you should say it b'shem Amroi, and you should visualize as if the Baal HaShmua is in front of you. So that's in fact what happened over here.